Hey everybody, welcome to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, and this week on the show we have an interview with Ray Mathis. Ray Mathis is a member of the faculty at Atlantic University, where among the courses she mentors are her Spiritual Crisis and Symbols and Mythology courses. Her column, The Astrologer's Corner, appears in the ARE Venture Inward magazine available to members. Ray is an experienced teacher and workshop presenter with more than 35 years as a conference speaker. She is a former member of both the ARE and the Atlantic University Board of Trustees. She has maintained an ongoing astrological counseling practice for almost 40 years. She is mentoring the new online e-group. It's entitled Maintaining Good Health Using Astrology as Your Guide. This is from September 11th through October 8th. And to learn more, visit www.edgarcayce.org/egroups. I hope you guys enjoy my interview with Ray Mathis.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Ray. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Good. And I understand you are a mentor at AU. And what courses are you mentoring at AU?
AU offers a master's degree in transpersonal studies. So in the master's program, I mentor a course called Spiritual Crisis, which is a required course. A course on mythology and symbolism, and a course on becoming a teacher of finding your mission in life. Those are the three courses I'm mentoring now. And although you can take them for a master's degree, you can also audit those courses and take them for continuing education as well. And over the years, I've mentored a number of other courses, but those are the ones that I'm doing right now.
Right. And for those who aren't aware, AU is what us involved at the ARE call Atlantic University, which offers a master's program in transpersonal studies, like you said. You mentioned you mentored a course called Spiritual Crisis. What all did that entail?
In the past, we have had things like a person going through a dark night of the soul,
mm-hmm.
and Spiritual Crisis looks at how to tell the difference between someone who is actually going through a dark night of the soul, a spiritual crisis, and someone who may have some mental health issues.
Right.
Most of our students are, many of our students are working in the healing, helping area as far as their career is concerned. And most of them have never even considered or had any kind of courses in regard to if someone is showing some mental health symptoms, could they be going through a spiritual crisis,
right,
rather than an actual mental health issue where they have to get into the system and be treated in that way. So it's an interesting course, and I wish I could claim that I developed it, but David McMillan is the one who originally developed the course.
Okay.
And we use one of his books as the text, looking at what Edgar Cayce had to say about mental health and spiritual crisis. So,
right. And were there any are there any courses at AU that you actually did develop or helped to develop?
I did develop the mythology and symbolism course.
Oh, wow, that sounds great.
Earlier, I developed a number of different courses that I mentored. One was the healing power of sound and music.
Oh, wow.
A course on masculine and feminine and androgyny I helped to develop. And Henry Reed and I have taught a number of courses together that we developed together. One was like archetypes and myths of daily life. I also mentored a Carl Jung course. So there have been a number that I developed and then a number that I have just slowly moved into the mentorship position that someone else developed. And usually David's been gone a long time from AU, so the course, I have revised it and changed it in, you know, to keep it up to date.
Right.
I still kind of consider it David's course.
Right. And what's the I know you guys use the term mentor, and most people who have been to grad school or going to grad school are used to the title professor. What is the reasoning behind using the title mentor?
Oh, that's a good question. For me, it has to do more with not being in the position of authority, like a teacher or a professor, but someone who's walking the path along with the students. Experienced some things a little ahead of the students and are just walking with them as a mentor rather than as I'm the authority and I know and you don't.
Right. So, I like that. That's great. And how long have you been at Atlantic University?
I've been involved with Atlantic University a long time. I actually attended as a student back in 1977.
Oh, wow.
That was when they were not giving, it was not a formal degree program then. We would spend a month somewhere all together, teachers, mentors, and students. And I did a month-long course where we went to live together, about 25 or 30 of us, back in 1977. And it was really a moment that changed my life. And it was a course on meditation. So then AU in the late 80s and early 90s began to develop the degree program. And I began to teach or mentor there. So it's been a while.
Yeah, that's great. And you said it really changed your life. What was it about that month period of the meditation course? What was that changed your life?
Well, I think if you spend a month meditating three times a day,
yeah,
your life will change.
Right. And were you guys meditating at the same time every day, like Edgar Cayce talked about in the readings?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
We had one meditation before breakfast, one before lunch, and then one late in the afternoon or early evening.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I think is one of the recommendations. Meetings. We did not do that.
Yeah, Edgar Cayce mentioned 2 o'clock in the morning is a good time to meditate.
Yes, exactly. We did sleep through the night, but we meditated usually for an hour, close to an hour.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and then,
definitely.
You know, and then in between that, we're studying.
Right.
And we did an in-depth study of Cayce's work on the Revelation, which talks a lot about meditation and the chakras. And
oh, yeah.
Enter. So it was a momentous time period for me. So
that's great. And I know you are very involved with the e-groups that the ARE are doing in Atlantic University. For those who might not be familiar, what exactly is an e-group and how does it work?
Well, an e-group is a program where you have an internet discussion board, and it lasts for 4 weeks. And each week, the mentor will post a lesson, a study guide. And the students go through the study guide, and there's usually experiential exercises that they can do, sometimes reveries, questionnaires. And then they have a chance to post their questions and their comments on a bulletin board on the computer. And I, as the mentor, will check the bulletin board several times a day and answer questions and make comments as the students go through the study guide. It's a chance to learn more about certain topics without the pressure of having to be graded and all that goes along with that. And they don't have to post on the bulletin board. I really encourage them to, but sometimes people don't.
Right.
So it's not required that they post on the bulletin board, but hopefully they go in and read the postings because a lot of material will be added to the study guide through that posting board.
And can anyone participate in these e-groups?
Anyone can. Now, in the case of the astrology e-groups, which are the ones that I will mentor, all of them are for beginners, except for one. I do have one group that I offer. It's on cycles that it's really good, and I encourage people to have a little bit of a working knowledge of their own chart before they sign up. They don't always do that, and they're not kept out if they don't.
But yeah.
They struggle a little more if they don't have a little bit of working knowledge.
And how would somebody go about registering for this e-group?
Well, you can go online to the e-group website, which is e-groups at edgarcasey.org. And there's a list of the e-groups there, the dates, and then there's a way to register there.
The topic of your e-group this time, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. I'm offering an e-group. This is the third e-group I've offered this year. Is on maintaining good health. I think the title of it is Maintaining Good Health Using Astrology as Your Guide.
Right.
The e-group is really about preventive maintenance throughout life based on the health themes in the horoscope.
And we'll be right back with more from my interview with Ray Mathis here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Ray Mathis.
Along with Cayce's suggestions for preventive types of treatments. And so what we're going to do is look, hopefully, at the health themes in each individual's horoscope. The students work with their own horoscopes. The e-group department, when you register, will gather your birth information and send you a copy of your birth chart. So the students have their own birth chart or their own horoscope, and the study guides will lead the students through finding some of the main themes in their chart that have to do with health. One of the things that I've done with these astrology e-groups, astrology is really a complicated system to learn and to study. And so one of the things I've tried to do is to just focus on a part of astrology when we're looking at the e-group. So I have, for instance, there's an e-group on relationships where all we do is look at the relationship indicators in the horoscope, nothing else. So with the medical e-group, we're going to be looking only at the possible medical indicators. Now, these will be the main, the things you would look at first if you were going to look at medical issues for a person. Week one, we will look at the sun, the sun sign. Everything in astrology, all the planets and all the signs rule certain parts of the body.
Right.
So what we will do is look at the part of the body that the sun rules. Week two, we look at the moon sign. Week three, we look at the ascendant or the rising sign. The ascendant is not a body in the solar system like the moon and the sun, but it is the sign that was on the horizon at the moment you were born, which is supposed to indicate, you know, a powerful aspect of your personality.
Right.
And then week four, we look at the sixth house, which is the house that has to do with health. It's really the work and health house. The houses are, if you've ever seen a horoscope, it's divided into 12 pie-shaped sections.
Mm-hmm.
And each section in the chart and in the horoscope is called a house. And each house supposedly rules a certain area of life. So we will be looking at the sixth house. It's one of those things, according to the Cayce readings, it's really difficult to be physically healthy over the long term if the spirit, the mind, or the emotions are diseased in some way.
Right.
So not only do the themes in the pattern, in the birth chart, themes and patterns in the birth chart indicate your needs and your wants and talents and skills, they also indicate karmic issues that you have or that you've chosen to work on this lifetime.
Right.
And these are often unconscious or undeveloped. So if these influences are not being used in a constructive way, in the way that you express them in your life, then they may at some point in your life manifest in your physical health. A lot of times my clients will say, well, how is my health? And I'll usually look at first these first four areas that I've talked about, but also anything, I believe anything in the horoscope can turn into a health issue if we don't have a constructive way to use that energy.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes health issues arise, I think, to get our attention because we're not using the energies that God gave us in the most constructive way possible. And then other times, and I really want to emphasize this about this group, this is the first time I've taught this e-group, because I think sometimes a person may have chosen to meet a health karmic pattern this lifetime. So this e-group is really not about our beating ourselves up if we have a chronic health issue that seems to go on and on. I think that we have to remember that we have free will. So choosing how we want to use or respond to these influences, while also keeping in mind that if you have a chronic health issue, you may have chosen that karmic path this lifetime.
Right.
We have free will. We have a lot of choices in life. And
right.
I know that there's one of the issues with astrology is the whole idea of fate versus free will. And certainly you can't work with astrology without feeling like there is a fated component there. But the fated aspect has to do with these archetypal patterns and timing, but it doesn't have to do with the exact manifestation of that archetype.
Right.
And this is where we do have a lot of freedom, and a lot of free will is in our choices as to how we're going to use these patterns.
And so basically speaking from a quantum perspective, it gives you patterns that aren't set in stone because of free will. They are probabilities, so you could take it either way, right?
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
And I always like to ask my guests the question, what first brought you to the area? I probably should have asked that in the intro, but I figured I might as well ask it now.
Oh, wow. That's a long
story. It's usually a long story, so I like to hear these stories. It's so fun because everybody's got a story about what brought them first to the ARE and the Edgar Cayce material.
Yes. I was working at NASA as a mathematician.
Wow.
We had just moved up here, my husband and I, and he was an engineer at NASA, and I was working as a mathematician right after we married, the early 60s, 1960s, 1963 to be exact. And my supervisor at NASA was interested in Edgar Cayce. And one day he came into the office and he handed me a book, There's a River. It's one of those moments that you always remember, although I didn't know why I was going to remember it at that point. Well, I can still see the room. I can see him standing there. I can see the windows and the sun coming in. And he put that book in my hand. You know, I started reading, and it was just fascinating. And then at some point very early, and I don't remember exactly when, Hugh Lynn was on a radio show, and we happened to pick it up on our radio. We didn't have a television back then. And he was being interviewed. And so somewhere early in the 60s, we realized that the ARE was close, and we went over and started attending. They would have little short lectures then. I remember I went to a lecture on organic gardening.
Oh, wow. In the
60s. So that was how we became interested in it. It was just a growing interest over the years, and becoming more and more involved. So
that's funny that you mentioned organic gardening. ARE has always seemed to be ahead of its time. You know, going to an organic gardening lecture in the 60s, I mean, that seems like a movement that's really picked up right now, and they were doing it back in the 60s. I love that the ARE is always on top of that.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, Edgar Cayce, somewhere along the way, his reading said, in this time frame, we were going to need gardens.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to be growing our own food, and all you have to do is watch the evening news to see what the latest recall on food has been.
Right.
So he was way ahead of his time in so many areas.
He was, absolutely. Yeah, and with GMOs and everything and the genetic modifications that are going on with food, it's important. And I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, grow gardens, not lawns, and I love that. That's such a great concept.
That's great.
Yeah. So was it through the ARE that brought you to astrology, or how exactly did you come across astrology?
No, I was working at NASA, and at that time I had a few kind of kooky friends that I thought they were kooky at the time, and they were into astrology. And I thought they were out of their mind.
And were these fellow NASA employees?
No,
just
they
friends.
Were friends outside of NASA.
Okay, cool.
So they kept wanting me to, they wanted my birth information because they were going to do my chart. And
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give it to them for a long time. And finally, I mean, they bugged me for a year before I finally gave it to them. And I said, I'm just going to give it to you to get you off my back. And there was an astrologer, a professional astrologer, coming through town, and they set up a reading for me with this person. And again, it was one of those moments where your whole worldview gets turned upside down. And I came out of there thinking, you know, there's something to this. I don't know what it is, but there's something to this, and I think I'll see if I can figure out what it is, and I guess I've been trying to figure that out ever since.
Well, you've been doing a great job. I know you write every quarter in the Venture Inward an astrology article and how it relates to health or what's going on in the world, and I just love that article, so I thank you so much for doing that every quarter.
Thank you for reading it.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. So was there any formal training or formal education for you, or was it more of an experiential thing for you over the years?
In the beginning, I guess I would say first I was self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got my feet wet, I did study some with Dr. Zipper Dobbins, who was a clinical psychologist and an astrologer and a writer. And I began to practice at that time doing charts for other people. So as I began to practice astrology, I saw that an astrology reading can really take a person very deeply into their life process.
Right.
And I realized, and I got caught a number of times with getting people in deeply, and then I didn't know what to do with them.
And we'll be right back with more from my interview with Ray Mathis here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Ray Mathis.
So I realized I was going to need some training, some more training, maybe in counseling skills or psychology or something. So in the early 80s, I returned to school and got a master's degree in clinical social work and actually worked as a therapist for several years. And then I became interested in analytical psychology. And all this time, and about the time I got interested in Jung, I think I discovered the astrology readings in Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along there, Cayce and Jung and their interest in astrology grabbed me. And so in the mid-80s, I did go back and forth to Zurich, Switzerland for 5 years. And studied astrology with Jung's daughter, Gret Baumann Jung.
Wow.
And I also did some postgraduate study at the Jung Institute while I was there. So,
how did you enjoy that?
Oh, it was a wonderful experience. It was just a wonderful experience. Gret Baumann was in her 80s then.
Mm-hmm.
And I also worked with Dora Kauf, who was the originator of sand play therapy. And I did a Jungian analysis with Aniala Yaffe, who was Jung's biographer. She wrote Memories, Dreams, and Reflections.
Yeah.
Was his private secretary. And it was like those three women were in their 80s and 90s. And it was just the most wonderful experience to kind of, I felt like I went into the arms of the feminine over there. And
wow.
It was a very healing time for me in
That's
many
great.
Ways.
And every Edgar Cayce scholar I've met is also a Jung scholar. I find that interesting. Me personally, I'm the same way. It's like if you come across Jung and you come across Cayce, you're gonna be able to find the connection between those two because there's something, you know, about their work and the material that came out of their research. And
I've done some lectures on Jung and Cayce before,
mm-hmm.
And I think particularly from regard to their charts. If you look at their birth charts, they were born fairly close together. I think maybe, I can't remember, a couple of years apart, but there was a huge conjunctions of planets at that time that were still in effect. And they have these three planets the same, and except they're in different houses in their horoscope. And in Cayce's chart, these three planets are up at the top of the chart. So he was like, he was bringing in information and energy in it from a spiritual, you know, from above.
Right.
And for Jung, the three planets are at the bottom of his chart. He was bringing in the shadow.
Oh, wow.
Dark side. And
yeah.
So together, I think they form a nice completion and a nice whole.
Yeah. Imagine them interacting. That would be a good story for
yes,
a film.
I went through, at one point, I went through the Cayce readings trying to see if he ever referred to Jung. He did refer to Freud at one point.
Did he really?
He did.
Wow.
He was saying, I wish I had that reading in front of me now, but it had to do with how do I kind of know my life purpose. Something like that, and he was saying, study numerology, study astrology, and study Freud.
Wow. That's too cool.
But I could never find where he directly referred. I think there was a letter from somebody who mentioned Jung in the letter, but I don't think, I could never find anything where Cayce directly referred to Jung as if he knew it or the readings referred to Jung.
Right. And I know Jung was, I don't know if he necessarily got the recognition during his lifetime or at least during his early scholar years as Freud did, because Freud was kind of the grandfather of psychology at the time. So that might have been a reason. Maybe he was able to kind of reference Freud because Freud was still the head honcho at the time.
Yes, and that certainly probably was the case.
Yeah.
And Jung broke away from Freud, essentially over Freud's seeing sexuality as the basis for mental illness. And,
right.
And Jung saw, it's interesting, Jung saw the lack of a spiritual life. And he has one of his quotes, I think I use it in my course, Spiritual Crisis, is that every time he worked with someone, he found that their major issue was a lack of, he called it religious orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be healed, they had to find that religious orientation again.
Right. I think Cayce would call it like an ideal, like finding an ideal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. Wow. From the Edgar Cayce material, is there any one thing that you would say has influenced you the most in your life?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's that's a tough one.
You know, probably the meditation and the readings on the Revelation, which are on meditation, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Those have probably been the most influential.
What is your opinion on kind of the everyday horoscopes that a lot of people are into? They have apps on their iPhones now that give them a daily horoscope. Is there value to these daily horoscopes?
Well, if I understand what you're saying, the daily horoscope would be where the planets are today.
Right.
How they're lining up. In astrology, we would talk about those planets as being what we call transits.
Mm-hmm.
Planets, you know, go around in a cycle. Every planet has its cycle around the zodiac. And so where they are today would be important if you know your birth chart. For instance, right now Pluto is in Capricorn and will be for a number of years yet, and has been since 2008. So anybody who has the sun in Capricorn would be, Pluto will make a conjunction with their sun at some point during these years, and that would be a major transformative period for that person.
Right.
Number one, if you know your birth chart, then you will know, if you look at today's horoscope, whether some of those planets are activating your personal chart or not. Some of the faster-moving planets, you know, Venus, the Moon, those things go over very quickly, and they might indicate a little bit of something going on in a day. I generally, when I'm doing a reading, focus more on the longer-term outer planets because they hang around a while.
Right.
And will indicate these transformative periods that we go through in life. Pluto will hang around for at least 2 or 3 years around a certain spot in your chart. And Uranus and Neptune also are longer lasting. Saturn can certainly be around for a year. It can make conjunctions in a person's chart for a year. Mars moves a little quicker. It may only indicate a day or two, but those are days. Mars was the god of war, so those are days you have to be a little more careful. If you're susceptible, you might have to watch your anger. You might be a little more irritated or agitated. I know when I have a Mars transit, sometimes I'll feel like I've had too much caffeine to drink.
Oh, wow.
Shaky. And so I have to be a little more careful. If a person is kind of reticent or shy or a little more introverted, Mars can be very helpful because it can really give them a little kick in behind to be a little more assertive with their life.
Right.
But if somebody's already pretty assertive, then they usually have to be more careful about being a little too aggressive with Mars transit. So again, the daily horoscopes, I think would probably most people would use them in that regard.
Right.
Now, we're in a time period right now where we have a huge configuration that started back in 2008 where Uranus and Pluto are squaring each other.
Right.
So the 90-degree angle between two planets when they're 90 degrees apart is called a square in astrology, and it's a more stressful aspect. It generally will indicate that those two planets and the archetypes that they represent, they kind of fight with each other. They don't get along very well. So you have to learn how to get them to get along. In this time period, we're now having this Uranus square Pluto, which will generally, those are outer planets being the planets we cannot see with the naked eye, like Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, generally will indicate collective issues that are going on in the world. Years before this started, astrologers were already saying that this time period we would be dealing with some kind of major shift in the world. I think most people would agree that we're in the midst of something like that now.
Right, absolutely.
So if somebody knows enough about astrology, they can look at the daily horoscope and see those patterns as well.
Right. But it's essential to get the birth chart is the that's kind of the essential way to get work with patterns and find out more.
And we'll be right back with more from my interview with Ray Mathis here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Ray Mathis.
Right. If you want to know, if you want to really work with those kinds of charts online, then you really need to get your own birth chart and start there. And that really is one of the main reasons that I wanted to do the e-groups and that I have chosen to do the e-groups in the way that I have chosen to do them, and that is focusing on just a piece of the chart.
Right.
Because I really feel like that only you can interpret your horoscope. It's like a dream. Now, I can walk around your chart and I can say, you know, well, this theme, I've seen this theme manifest this many times in this many charts, but yours is probably going to manifest differently, but still be within the archetypal pattern. I would love to see everybody be able to know enough to interpret their own chart.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, obviously there's a Casey reading where somebody asked him, should I study astrology? And he said, everybody should study astrology.
Wow.
I think it, and obviously he went on to say, with the caveat of the will is ever the overriding factor, and it certainly is.
Right, absolutely. Because I would imagine a lot of those things could go either way, and that's where the free will kind of plays
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah, everything in astrology can manifest positively or negatively,
right.
Constructively or destructively, every single archetype. So when you're looking, you know, at an archetype, I mean, a good one is Pluto, because Pluto rules Scorpio, and we always hear about the sting of the scorpion's tail, and they can certainly do that. You know, Scorpio, Pluto people have an ability to hone in on a person's vulnerable spot. And they can certainly go for the juggler if they decide to do that. But on the other hand, in its highest manifestation, Scorpio is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more a shamanistic type healing, but you'll often, I mean, I have a lot of clients in the healing professions who have very strong Scorpio or Pluto in their chart. So
right.
He is a good therapist. And so everything certainly can be positive or negative, and that's where we have to make that decision as to how we're going to manifest the energies.
Absolutely. That's good to know about Scorpio, because I myself am a Scorpio, and I'm actually on the path of healing, you know, personally for the most part, but I, you know, I love to bring healing energy to others as well.
Absolutely. You're going in the right direction.
Good to know. Thank you. And I thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Ray. I really appreciate you giving us the time and enlightening us about astrology and the e-groups.
Okay, thanks so much.
Now it's time for the thought for the day. And the thought for the day today is from reading 3121-1. And it reads, long-suffering does not mean suffering of self and not grumbling about it. Rather, though you are persecuted, unkindly spoken of, taken advantage of by others, you do not attempt to fight back or do spiteful things. That you be patient, first with self, then with others. I love this excerpt from the readings because I feel the term long-suffering has been often grossly misunderstood. Edgar Cayce was known to redefine many things throughout his readings, giving them a more up-to-date, fresh perspective. Long-suffering never seemed to really resonate with me as I pondered why would an all-loving, all-encompassing God have any need for us to suffer? This reminded me of something else I'd read in the KC readings, which stated that heaven or hell are not so much physical places as they are states of consciousness in which you are always actively co-creating through being a clear channel for the creative forces to work through and with us. Great souls like Edgar Cayce, Gandhi, and even Jesus practiced long-suffering in this way. They were peaceful warriors, even as many around them were attempting to sway them in directions they knew intuitively were not in line with their ideals and not in line with their highest purpose for incarnating here on Earth. Great warriors of peace like these men need to be held in high esteem, as they were true examples of the powerful potential of working and striving to maintain a heightened awareness of Christ consciousness in their daily interactions. We are free to do a bit of grumbling here and there, and it's only human to vent. Of course, everyone knows we have free will, so do as you will. But the most important part is to recognize whether grumbling about things we often cannot change really helps to contribute to our situation in a positive way. Many things we cannot change, so why bother resisting them? Rather, accepting them as they are, we can work with the universal creative forces that are trying to show us something about our inner life at all times. They're trying to show us our thoughts, our beliefs, our passions, and our karmic patterns that are manifesting in this lifetime. In Eastern traditions, this is referred to as non-attachment, or flowing with the Tao, which is the way of the universe. The beauty of our holographic universe is that it's in a sense a feedback loop. I think of it as the infinity symbol or a tube torus. What you put into the universe, it kind of spits back out at you. This exemplifies the need for a spiritual ideal such as patience, compassion, or service. By dedicating one's life to a high spiritual ideal, we are ever mindful of what we are putting out into the world and will therefore be quite satisfied with what is reflected back to us each and every day. God does not wish for us to suffer, only to continue learning with an open heart and an open mind, in hopes that one day we will awaken to the remembrance, the full, true remembrance, that we are all at one with each other in the universe. Well, that's all the time we have for the show this week. I want to thank my guest, Ray Mathis, for sharing her wisdom with us on astrology and her online e-groups. Don't forget to visit the website to register for Ray's upcoming e-group entitled Maintaining Good Health with Astrology as Your Guide. To find out more and register to be a part of this unique e-group, visit the website at edgarcasey.org/egroups. If you haven't already gotten a chance to check out Ray's quarterly article, it's called The Astrologer's Corner and is in the ARE member magazine Venture Inward. I highly recommend you do so. Ray offers insights and advice on what the planetary alignments reveal about our personal and planetary journey of enlightenment. Also, don't forget to come visit us here in Virginia Beach at the ARE, where you can find the largest metaphysical library outside of the Vatican, a world-class spa and wellness center, and tons of fun activities with like-minded people going on every day. We hope to see you guys here. As always, don't forget to check us out on Facebook at Reflections, The Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I love to hear everyone's feedback on the show. A big thank you goes out to all my listeners. As always, I'm very grateful that you would take time out of your busy schedule to share in the wisdom of Edgar Cayce with me. Until next week, I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, reminding you to be mindful of your thoughts about yourself and others. Don't forget to smile and count your blessings every day. Hope everyone has a beautiful, love-filled week. Take care.